Hey, everyone. Welcome into the Pipeline Podcast. Tim McMaster here along with Jonathan Mayo. We're at the National High School Invitational live on location for the podcast, Jonathan. And we're joined by Brax Garrett of Florence High School, who was tremendous on day one. A great outing by you, obviously, Brax. Eight shutout innings for the victory. I want to start with you, Jonathan, though. Just watching that performance, what stood out to you?
Well, we were talking before we started, and I said, I think that might have been the single best game I've seen on this field. And we've seen some good baseball here between Tournament of Stars and the, you know, I've covered all of the NHSIs, and I've seen some good pitching performances. But the combination of what you did, Brax, and then what Zach Hess did on the other side was just unbelievable. And I wanted to ask you about that one moment you give up the leadoff triple. And I think it's always a sign of, well, what do you got inside when that gut check moment, you left the pitch up and he crushed it. And then you said, all right, let's get to work. Just what were you able to do? Just, you seem like you're always kind of even on the mound, but how did you channel your energies to really try to buckle down and make sure that run didn't score?
Well, I left the ball up and you're right. He did crush that ball, about put it out of here dead center. And, I was heading back to the mound from backing up home, and it's a focus. After that, it's, you know, they're going to come aggressive, try to put the ball in play. And next guy, I end up striking out with three straight curveballs because, you know, he's looking for a fastball to put in play, and end up striking the next guy out and fortunately got out of that. So it's just a focus and maybe a confidence thing. You don't want that run across. You know, I knew Zach Hess was just pitching unbelievably, and maybe that one run would have been the run that won them the game.
It felt like that, honestly. It felt like the first run in that game was going to be it. That was going to be all it took, and it ended up being the case with you guys winning 2-0. But I remember seeing you come off the mound after getting that third out in the fifth inning, and it seemed like something that had swung the momentum the other way by getting out of it, it suddenly came back the other. I mean, you were getting high fives, hugs coming off. You could see that you were fired up. How much of a lift did that give the whole team?
I think it was a huge lift, especially for me, because that inning was really where I found my breaking ball, because before that, my breaking ball wasn't how I wanted it. And after he hit the triple, I found it, and from then on, I was pretty good.
That we talked about it on the air, actually. The combination of confidence in that pitch, even though you didn't have it, and confidence in your catcher, runner on third, nobody out. I'm going to start throwing a pitch that I haven't had a good feel for now repeatedly to get out of the inning. I mean, thinking back, but now, can you understand how, from an outside perspective, like, well, that's a gutsy call right there.
Right. It's all trust. Colin Taylor, who's my catcher, he's caught me for 2 years now. He's seen it enough, and you know, I trust him to do the work. So. You know,
now the game went 8 innings and you went the distance. It was we'll call it a Jack Morris type performance, right? When you go the distance into the extra inning like he did when he threw 10 in the World Series. But I assume there was a conversation after 7 innings whether or not you're going to go back out between pitcher and coach. Now, coach also happens to be dad. So does that change the equation a little bit when you're having that discussion of I'm going back out there on the mound, coach/dad?
I don't think so. We draw a line between dad and coach, and I think we do a good job of it. Sometimes it's a challenge, but I think we do a good job facing that challenge.
I would imagine the one thing when you're home, you know, you can draw the line, you're on the field, but then you got to go home together, right?
Right.
So how do you leave the stuff on the field and not continue that even if you go back to dad-son relationship, I would imagine there are things you'd be like, oh, you should have left me out there for another inning, or you should have let me throw this pitch, or, you know, that kind of thing.
You know, when we go home, we talk about the game. We really just talk about everyone, all our players, how everyone did. And, you know, it's either, Brax, you know, you played well today, or Brax, you just really didn't play very well today, and we'll just talk about it. We really don't go into the details, but we talk about it a little bit and just talk about what we think me as a player and us as a team can do to get better. Just at home, just casual talk.
What was going through your mind throughout the game, really, when you look across the other way and you see Zach Hess, who you mentioned, and, I mean, he threw 7 no-hit innings, but you were able to keep them off the board as well, and you only gave up a few hits yourself. But to know that the other team has a guy that's pitching that well, does that raise things for you, or does that get you even more focused?
I don't know. I'm pretty focused as is. I mean, this is a pretty big stage, right. But I can't say it didn't have any effect. I mean, with him on the mound, I knew our runs would be scarce if we would get any. And so the focus was definitely there.
This is not your first go around here at, you know, at USA Baseball. You've done a lot. You've played for the 18U team. Talk a little bit about your relationship with USA Baseball and how much it means to you to, you know, be able to play for your country in international competition and to be able to come back here this time with your whole team from back home and show them what it's all about.
All my experiences with USA Baseball have been the best I've ever had on the baseball field. This past summer going to Japan with all the boys on the team and coming back here just brings back all the memories of Tournament of Stars. And I got to see a couple of our guys, Hagen, Nick Prado, Blake, and Daniel Bax. And, you know, a lot of guys, we've been texting back and forth. They're like, hey, you remember this. And it's just a great time, especially the ring ceremony yesterday was great. Just getting to talk to the guys.
How was it getting the ring? You know, how big's the ring? You didn't bring it with you.
Yeah, it's a nice ring. It's a pretty nice ring.
Certainly should be. Gold medal, the U18 team in Japan.
So I'd be remiss if we let you get out of here with that one small draft-related question. And I know, you know, the stock answer is, well, I'm focusing on the season, and I know you are, and that kind of stuff takes care of itself. But you're used to seeing a lot of scouts behind home plate and all that kind of thing. Do you have anything in your mind in terms of this is how I'd like things to go in order for you to be able to make that decision? Because, I mean, you've got that Vanderbilt commitment, which a lot of guys then fulfill as opposed to going pro. Is there something in your mind that you're just like, this is what needs to happen for me to make a decision one way or another?
Right now, I don't think so. My whole focus this whole season has just been to just play my best just for the team. And whatever happens, happens. You know, I have one thing, and that's Vanderbilt, and I really do look forward to playing for Tim Corbin and Coach Brown and Coach Jewett. And, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, I mean, things could change. But I love Vanderbilt, and I love what it's all about.
All right. Brax Garrett, tremendous job on the mound here in your first game at the NHSI, and good luck the rest of the tournament.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great stuff there from Brax Garrett, who was tremendous in one of the best pitching duels I've ever seen at the high school level. I mean, he went 8 shutout innings, of course, high school regulation game, 7 innings. It was scoreless after 7. They went extras. And on the other side, Zach Hess, 7 no-hit innings, and then they finally get a hit off him in the 8th, and then they had some base running and stuff. They end up scoring 2 runs on Zach Hess. But we can't take anything away from what he did, because here's a guy that came here, and we kind of talked about maybe he had a chip on his shoulder because he wasn't in the Tournament of Stars.
Right.
But he was here. He wanted to show USA Baseball what he could do.
Right, that he belonged. Yeah. And I think he answered that,
yes,
that question.
A resounding yes.
And, you know, keep in mind that he had thrown in 1 real game. And thrown only 3 innings, right, because they wanted him fresh. He had thrown a week ago Monday an 85-pitch simulated game. So he'd gotten stretched out some. But it's not like he was in the middle of the season. So he just battled. And you know, during the broadcast, Steve Sachs, our partner here in the booth, pointed out that there's some effort there in his delivery. And, you know, that will have to get cleaned up at the next level. But in terms of competitiveness, oh, my goodness. And that's why scouts love this event. You can come to a showcase and you go out and throw 2 innings and you try to light up the radar gun and things like that, and he's capable of doing that. But in a team situation where, you know, especially as 0 after 0 put up, the whole team is on his shoulders, and he didn't shy away from it at all. And you could even see after he gave up the 2 runs, you could tell he was disappointed, but it's not like he was throwing stuff in the dugout or mad at his teammates. You know, it just the breaks of the game. Some crazy stuff happened in that game, and, you know, fastball breaking ball combination was really, really good. He certainly raised his profile a bit more after this performance, no question.
Yeah, that gamer mentality, and I think Steve Sachs mentioned it as well, that, you know, you say he's an animal. His coach called him an animal on the mound, but Steve mentioned he's an animal when he throws the ball to first. He throws a 90-mile-per-hour fastball to first to check on a runner. Everything he did was kind of intense.
Full effort.
Yeah.
He'll need to learn to pace himself if he's going to be a starting pitcher long-term. But, you know, that's the joys of youth. but, yeah, he was the thing that I think was so impressive is, you know, he started to get tired. You saw the velocity lower, but he was still finding ways to get people out. And you know, I think that bodes well for his future. And you know, one of the things that teams really look for when they're scouting guys for the draft is, you know, the pure stuff. Yes, that you need that, and sometimes maybe too much. The radar gun readings are too much, but more and more, you know, teams really want to know what's going on in their, you know, in their heads and how they handle competition and adversity, because you can have guys who can, you know, throw the ball through a brick wall, but the second things go wrong, they fold like a card table, and those are the guys that never make it out of the minor leagues. So, you know, that intestinal fortitude is something that's necessary to really have long-term success.
We kind of jumped right into things because we had Brax here. But for people that don't really know what the NHSI is, the National High School Invitational, 16 of the best high school teams from around the country, and they're here in Cary, North Carolina, brought in by USA Baseball, and it's a single elimination tournament. Every team plays four games, but as far as winning a title here, it's a single elimination bracket tournament, and that was a first-round game, and they went head-to-head and just tremendous. And we saw some other great baseball on day one. Hagen Danner is a guy that we saw when he had his best stuff as a sophomore in this tournament. Was just fantastic. We saw him again here in the first round as a junior. Maybe didn't have his best stuff, but battled and was still great for a Huntington Beach team. And they got the victory. And it was kind of maybe nice to see what he can do when maybe the best stuff isn't there.
Again, talking about that, you know, the mentality and the willingness to compete, and you know, he's no stranger to USA Baseball. I mean, was on the 18U team as an underclassman. Keep in mind, he's a 2017 guy, and we've already seen him twice. And this event is fantastic. This is the fifth one, and I've been fortunate enough to cover all five of them. And there's been ridiculous amounts of talent year after year. And you know, that Huntington Beach team took a hit right before coming here. Logan Paulson, who was, you know, their third baseman and their number two starter, had just had Tommy John surgery. Had he been healthy, you know, they may have been prohibitive favorites to win the whole thing, just because of the pitching depth that you need. Now we'll see what happens with them moving forward. They move on to that quarterfinal, and we won't see their quarterfinal game. You know, so they'll have to win again for us to broadcast another game. But, he struggled a little bit, lost feel here and there. He had that one bit of trouble early and then got through that, and then that kind of locked things in for three innings, and then he got tired.
Yep.
And it was clear at the end that he was struggling to repeat his delivery and things like that. And he's a junior in high school. You forget sometimes with where he's pitched. But that was fun. And, you know, over the years, to give a little historical context, I mean, there's been some – ridiculous pitching performances here, including Hagen Danner's a year ago, but Tukey Toussaint, you know, 33 degrees, kid from Florida, born in Haiti, came out and I think struck out 11 or 12 in his game. Max Fried was a first-round pick of the Padres and got traded to the Braves. He's just coming off of Tommy John surgery now, but he was on that same team as Lucas Giolito. Jack Flaherty, who ended up being a first-round pick of the Cardinals as a sophomore that year that Giolito got hurt, had to step in. I mean, he was one of their pitchers, but he was like their third starter. And on this field, maybe he gave up a run, but I think he threw a complete game, was unbelievable, and then came back the next year and pitched exceedingly well again as a junior. And that really kind of put him on the map. And the list goes on in terms of guys. Courtney Hawkins, who is an outfielder now in the White Sox system, his start, he had one of those like do it all kind of games where he pitched into the sixth inning, shutout ball, hit a solo homer. His Carroll High School team from Texas won the game 1-0. So I mean, there's been some guys who have used this platform to help build that resume leading up to the draft for sure.
It's a great ballpark for pitchers because the dimensions are huge. Unless guys start putting them in the gaps, but in general, it's hard to hit one out of here, and there is a lot of foul ground. But let's talk about some of the hitters that are here too. And you keep mentioning the U18 team, and another guy on that team was Dan Baxt, Poly Prep out of Brooklyn, New York, and they came down here having not played a game yet this season, and they were against Hagen Danner, and they battled in that game, especially considering that it was their first game of the season. Of course, things are a little different for the northern teams battling the cold weather. Baxt, it was good to see him at third base. He was on that U18 team, and he's a really you talk to him, and he's really engaging to talk to, and looks like he's going to really be something as far as and could be a high draft pick as well.
Yeah, I mean, he can really hit. And he had a very good summer over the summer, not just here for USA Baseball, but the whole showcase circuit. He was very good and raised his profile quite a bit, because there's always that Northeast kid, with the competition that he's facing in New York, depends, and who they're playing. And he didn't have a great day against Hagen Danner, but think about it, they're coming out of a gym. Maybe they've been out on the field a couple times and
using wood bats.
Yeah,
as well.
And here's we saw someone's bat get sawed in half, but come right out of the gate and here's 90 miles an hour, and Baxter's one of the few kids on the team who had faced that consistently over the summer, but that was last summer, so to be ready on on the switch like that, to be able to face that may have been a little too tough. So he wore it a little bit against him. He went 0-for-3 and did drive in a run with a ground out. But he's got some power. He's going to grow into that frame some. I think he could be a really good profile third base. And we talked with Brax Garrett about his commitment to Vanderbilt and how strong that commitment is. He's got a commitment to Stanford, where his brother went, not to play baseball, but just as a student. So that's also a strong commitment to try to get signed away from. So we'll see what happens, as the spring goes on, and what kind of decision he makes. But I guess it's a nice problem to have when you're a high school senior. Well, do I want to go pro as a first-round picker, or do I want to head to Stanford for a free education?
These are good choices.
Yes.
Good choices to have. So those are a lot of the guys we've seen here so far, but there's other players that we haven't gotten a chance to look at, and some other guys that were on that U18 team as well. But today, going head-to-head, a couple of guys that very much in the discussion draft-wise and with all of that, Blake Rutherford is one of those guys on a Chaminade team that looked real good on day one, and he's a guy that can really hit as well.
Yeah, he's got a lot of tools. I mean, he can do a little bit of everything. Center fielder, toolsy, not like a 80 runner, but he can run, he can hit, he's got some power. He's got a chance to be that do everything up the middle kind of player that people really covet. And he was one of the few high school hitters on our early draft top 50 that I thought, if he comes out this spring and really performs, he's going to be one of those guys that kind of sneaks into consideration for the very top of the draft for teams that like, the high school bats. He's one of the more dynamic guys. He had an okay summer, not a great summer, but he's been on the radar for a while now. And sometimes those guys, it's hard because they already have that level of expectation. And so they don't exceed it. They don't get better necessarily from when he was an underclassman, but he was still pretty good. So sometimes, overexposure in effect hurts them. So, he had a couple of hits in day one. We'll see, a good tournament here. He's already up near the top of the list. We haven't done our new draft top 100, but Baseball America put theirs out, and I think they had him at number 3.
Yeah.
We're just starting our process, but so it gives you an idea of where he fits into that conversation. He's going to be a top 5, top 10 kind of pick for sure.
And then Carter Kieboom also here is going to go head-to-head with Blake Rutherford on day 2 here. And Kieboom, a guy from a baseball family, has got some brothers. One brother, Spencer, is in the Nationals organization, was in big league camp this year. We'll start the year in the minor leagues. But also for a Walton team that came in here, ranked number 1. They got a mercy rule win on day 1. They looked everything like that number 1 team. But talk about Kieboom and what people can expect to see from him.
Yeah, he was going to end up at third base, and fit that profile pretty well, it seems. His brother, thinks he's better than he is, and seems to be often the case. I remember D. Gordon talking about Nick Gordon, Nick is much better than I am. I like to hear that, as opposed to the older brother being, I'm much better than he is. Now, privately, he may say something different.
I'm sure.
But he just said that his brother is much more athletic, and
Spencer being a catcher.
Spencer's a catcher. Yeah. Carter's played some shortstop. You know, he'll be a third baseman, but some strength, some bat speed. You know, again, another one of these high school bats who a strong spring. I think we had him right around 50 on our fall top 50. He has a chance to move up, you know, with a good spring, and he'll be, you know, he'll be a player that a lot of people will look at. There are certain teams that like those high school bats with some thump in it, and they're, you know, especially since college hitting every year these days is not great. I think largely because the industry does a good job of identifying them at a high school and keeping them from going to college. So the few good college bats will rise up, but there aren't that many. So if there's a high school bat that looks like they have a bit of a feel for hitting and some power potential, they're going to do well. And Carter Kiboom is that kind of guy.
This has been the Pipeline Podcast here live on location at the National High School Invitational in Cary, North Carolina. It's going to be a great week. Tune into the action the rest of the week. Championship game, 12:15 Eastern time on MLB.com on Saturday. So check that out. Some of these players that we've talked about maybe in that championship game, we'll say, I would assume at least one of those teams is going to make it there. Jonathan Mayo, thanks a lot as always.
Fun seeing you in person, Tim.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a lot easier doing this face-to-face.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone.